Hello, everybody. It's another weird week in 2020. Today's July 14th, and we're doing government and social media today.
The year that time forgot.
Yep.
Oh, I think it'll remember. I think this one will go in the history books.
Massive Attack released a new, like, three new songs this week, and I was excited about it. I was like, oh, something to forget my 2020 troubles. And then all three songs were, like, sad, like, kind of political songs. I was like, oh. Well, they're good, but it was also like, this didn't make me forget anything.
I think we need to get used to sad and political.
Yeah.
For the rest of the year.
I just want technology, damn it, technology.
And don't think it's going to end in November.
And to laugh at politicians misunderstanding technology. Or misapplying it.
So yeah, that's how it is. A lot of people complain that we get political, but gee, I mean, how can you not? Technology and politics has never been more ingrained.
It's bad because politicians that don't understand technology are afraid of it, and they
make laws regarding it.
Yeah, and it's like Star Wars. It's like the tighter you make your grip, the more star systems will slip through your fingers or whatever.
But you could substitute technology with any topic.
So one of the candidates, I can't remember what for now, here in Kentucky, was he was a former software developer, and I was like, well, that's kind of cool. Everyone else on the ballot was like, their only job was always just working in government.
Career politicians.
Wow, somebody's done something.
The solution we need.
Yeah.
Well, those career politicians have been busy, and we get a headline about this again every week. I think they just, like, they want an update every week. They got to keep this in the news. Not a ton of new information, but it has to be out there every week.
The U.S. is finalizing federal contract ban for companies that use Huawei and others. So this is from Reuters, and the thing that's new here is that this is not a ban on selling Huawei equipment to the government as part of fulfilling your contract with the government. Like, say the government's like, we want 5G coverage at this base, install some 5G towers, you're not allowed to use Huawei equipment. That's nothing new. This is, do you as a company use Huawei or ZTE phones or other equipment? Do your subcontractors? If that is the case, then you're not going to be eligible to fulfill these contracts unless you get a waiver.
Who do you think gets a waiver?
Booz Allen Hamilton, Boeing,
Raytheon.
Anyone who has enough money to just buy their way away from this law?
No, not Zuckerberg or Google or Amazon. They won't let them get away with it.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, I think Wendell's got it right. You know what those companies have in common, Krista?
I don't.
They make bombs.
Ah.
The Supreme Court has also... this was a bit of a dunker. Who wouldn't make this decision? Do we need this to go to the Supreme Court? I guess we did.
The Supreme Court upholds a cell phone robocall ban. I can sum up this. You don't even need to bother to read the headline. Kavanaugh wrote the opinion that said, you know what? Americans don't agree on a lot of things, but I think pretty much every American doesn't want to get automated calls to their cell phone. So, no.
The 2015 law had some exceptions that had to do with political polling and... Oh, no. Trying to recover government-based debt, like the IRS. And people were like, no, you don't get an exception. No robocalls ever. And the Supreme Court was like, okay. So, a rare good one from them. Here's a great story that points out the ultimate slap on the wrist politics. But at the same time, when you dig down into it, it was kind of like, you know, it's just when you get so big, like imagine that you were 100 times bigger than you are. And the government was like, whenever an ant crawls onto you, we must know. And if you don't tell us, we're going to fine you.
Amazon to pay $135,000 to settle alleged U.S. sanctions violations. Listen, if you live in Iran, don't try to sign up for Amazon Prime. It's just not allowed.
But that wasn't what happened. These were packages going to embassies. Now, if you don't know about international politics, embassies technically count as the soil of the country that the embassy is for. So the Iranian embassy in some European country got a package, and that's a no-no.
You think that Bezos looked at this and was like, $135,000, eye roll, whatever.
He picked up his phone, and his secretary was like, Jenny, I'll be going to lunch 15 minutes later today. And he hung it up, and then he made that money back. He worked that extra 15 minutes.
Didn't he pay, I think it was $16,000 in just parking tickets because he didn't care about, like, where he was supposed to park?
Yeah, that was when he was building some sort of house somewhere, and he's like, I'm just going to park wherever, and he literally didn't care where. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
this is jump change to him.
They admitted, they were like, yeah, okay, we did it. We didn't know. We fixed the system. And they pointed out that the amount of items that they sold total for all of these offenses was half the amount of the fine.
So it wasn't even people like order. It's like I was imagining like the Iranian embassy. Do we even have that ordering like pallets and pallets of servers? And it's like, nope. They just ordered some some hand sanitizer. It
was probably Amazon grocery. But it's not allowed under the sanctions. Hey, you know what? You got to follow the rules. Now we've been talking for a couple weeks now about the Blue League. Something. And it was this massive, massive database of law enforcement. And it's funny. We have some stories about that. Law enforcement lost their minds about that. They're like, oh, God, this puts us in danger. But what about all those leaks about us? I mean, my credit card company is constantly like, yeah, you're in this one. Sorry. Change your passwords again. So I know that my data is out there somewhere, and I hope that the government would, like, you know, try and destroy any copies of that they find, right?
You would think.
That would be the thing to do.
Police are buying access to hacked website data. The sale is a, quote-unquote, end run around the usual legal process. Now, you read into this, and there could be a lot of nefarious stuff to come out of this because, you know, first of all, police forces are not allowed to directly collect a lot of this kind of information themselves. I mean, that's sort of the obvious one if you've watched our news program for a long time. But at the same time, this might actually be useful if the police were interested in pursuing, you know, leads as to where this data came from and the hacks and that kind of thing.
That's not what they're doing.
That is not at all what they're doing.
So a cop, let's say that a cop is investigating you for something and they have an IP address and they want to tie the IP address to the person. Well, they can't just go to the ISP and demand that. They're going to at least need a warrant. In some cases, the ISP could tell you that they're coming after you. And there are all these rules that they shouldn't be allowed to do that. But there are no rules that say that they can't just go to a third-party company and be like, hey, I have a subscription, right, for all the leaked data. I'm going to put this IP address in. If that comes back to your name, hey, that's a lead.
That's kind of like how up until, like, what was it, like 1972 or 1974, that there wasn't really any federal rules or laws against running medical experiments on human beings. We actually had to like have some oversights and laws about that. Because if your local health cabinet was like, we need to experiment on people, see how this disease works, that was totally okay.
But that brings up a terrible conflict of interest because the law enforcement should be committed to stopping data leaks.
Yes.
But if data leaks lead to a higher rate of solving crimes, how does the Lady Justice's scales, how do they balance there?
I think that one of them might be broken.
No, so it's just a giant Washington shaped thumb.
I mean, she is blind. She just got robbed blind. She doesn't even have the scales anymore.
You think she's blind under the blindfold?
Her eyes have just been gouged out.
There's just gold coins pushed in there.
Now that's some federal statue defacement. It's like, we're not going to rip the statue down. We're going to paint blood underneath the blindfold to represent the... Okay.
So, speaking of law enforcement helping us online and not using our misfortune to make their jobs easier, definitely not doing that, we have a new... it's not really new. It's just an amalgamation of existing law enforcement task force.
The U.S. Secret Service creates a new cyber fraud task force. This article goes on to describe the not-too-distant future in which there will be hundreds of offices worldwide.
Yeah, in fact, here they are. I love how this area of the country is like, yeah, it's big, but there's nobody there.
If you get ransomware in Idaho, sorry.
So, yeah, these are, again, we had... electronic crimes and financial crimes, which was all Secret Service, and now they are just merging together into cyber fraud.
Mostly they seem focused on the economic damage caused by ransomware, I guess, because it's the lowest hanging fruit. But
well, they do financial stuff.
One of the best ways to prevent ransomware would be to, I don't know, notify companies that they're doing dangerously insecure things with their computers. Most companies, you know, I've dealt with a few companies that it's like, look, your stuff is dangerously insecure. I literally don't want to work on it because of the liability. And they're just like, nah.
Also, this map, they made sure to include Hawaii, but or not Hawaii, but Alaska. But Alaska doesn't have an office. Like, they could have just left it off the map.
That would be non-inclusive, Krista. We don't do that in 2020.
Hawaii does have an office at Honolulu.
I don't know. I guess Alaska has some military bases, but probably not a lot of juicy financial targets in Alaska. Not a lot of,
it's mostly homesteaders.
Not a lot of companies headquartered there. So another big theme of 2020, especially with you know, the cancel culture that's going on, is big tech and government being in bed together is all of a sudden something that people are kind of like pointing out and discovering and being like, hey, we should do something about this. And NBC has a very interesting article that sometimes they might not be in bed together, but they might be sharing a suite.
Thousands of contracts highlight quiet ties between big tech and the U.S. military. So what happens is a contract is issued, and the contract is to a small company or a company that just deals directly with the federal government. They're used to government contracting. But as part of the contract, which you don't actually get from the contract information, you have to explicitly request it through a Freedom of Information request, is that the small company is going to use Google or Microsoft or whatever to actually fulfill a substantial part of the contract, maybe even more than half of the contract. There's kind of a rule in federal contracting that the company that's providing the service has to provide more than half of the thing in the contract. So, like, you can't have somebody that's just skimming off the top. But in practice, this article illustrates how it doesn't really necessarily work that way in all cases.
And plus, who quantifies the percentages?
Yeah, well,
it's like we're doing all the work by you know, collating all the data and, you know, adding all this value and stuff, and they host everything in the cloud
and did all the other work. Yeah, which was all the work.
So an easy way to get around it. And so they discovered many contracts where they suspect that's going on, and they're trying to get information, and the few they've gotten information about, yep, that's what's going on. There's a tiny little degree of separation that and you got to wonder, will the, was it Dragonfly?
Oh yeah, for Google.
Like, are those people going to get onto this?
It's going to be, it's about the same thing as IBM selling computer equipment to Germany in the 1930s.
There might be a small difference. I don't want to, you know, take a, let's not say that the current protests and political situation aren't somewhat merited.
Yeah.
But there is a severity difference.
I don't know, the people coming across the border, it's not looking real good down there.
Well, again, the difference of crossing a border, you know, to be unfriendly, and being dragged out of your home.
Yeah. Sorry.
Now, Chicago, they were a place that had some of those protests. And
kind of a lot of them.
Some things happened, and as many of us watched, Krista, what are, they have just stopped televising them. Are they still going on? Are you keeping up with
that? They are still going on in most major cities.
Yeah,
you have to look them up on, like, Twitch.
You're getting, like, Periscopes and Twitches and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to admit, I'm saturated. I'm done. I'm with them spiritually, fight the power, but I'm spent. Anyway, it happened in Chicago, and there was a lot made about, like, you know, hey, we arrested all these people, but we only arrested the people who were burning things and fighting and, you know, doing bad things. We didn't arrest the quote-unquote protesters. And some people were like, wait a minute, that seems, you know, I watched some of those feeds.
But I saw that live on Twitch.
It seemed like you're arresting a lot of protesters. Now, the cool thing about it is Chicago has this API for all their arrest data. And one...
Yay, government transparency.
One intrepid reporter went through, and on the charge on the arrest report and the description of the arrest report, he actually went through and was like, wait, no. doesn't say protest here, but if you read the description, you arrested a protester. And they actually had to go back, embarrassingly, and revise a ton of arrest records. And when they did, it turned out it was mostly protesters.
Yeah.
So if you're the Chicago police, what do you do?
The Chicago Reporter says that the Chicago Police Department arrest API has shut down in its own kind of cover-up. So this article lays bare a lot of really amazing and interesting things. If anybody is paying attention, this seems like this would be charges of like corruption and fraud, and you know, government people should be held accountable for this. If these people are serving the public interest, laws have been broken here in covering this up.
I want to try to find, this is long, but this beautiful little piece of doublespeak.
Yeah, yeah.
So the question is, why did you turn off the API? Which should be a pretty basic answer, right? Well, this is the answer we got.
We looked into this and confirmed with our IT department that the API was a tool that was previously available at one point, but has been discontinued and turned off. The API access site is stagnant and not being monitored and should have been pulled down once the tool was no longer publicly accessible, and as a result, requests for access are not being reviewed.
What did that tell us?
Literally nothing.
Basically, they said, yes, we turned it off.
Why did you turn it off? You were caught lying.
Because we turned it off.
So, clearly...
That's what guilty people do. It's like, you know, you need to stop talking about this, or it's going to be turned off. And that's literally what they do.
Three-year-olds with better control and story-spinning ability.
And why did you need, like, four sentences to get that? That's just amazing.
It's like, oh, man, I accidentally did that.
How many revisions do you think that went through?
About 50. It's like, I'm going to come up with something that seems plausible but isn't outright horrible. Yeah, it was horrible.
So, the people of Chicago will no longer get that information. Maybe they'll give it back, maybe they won't.
It's going to be fun when they get the Freedom of Information Request things, and then they stall that for 6 months, but... Yeah,
they tried to get the Chicago like second through the fifth or something like that, and they said it was unduly burdensome to return that information.
Again, transparency in government should be mandated for exactly this reason.
To be fair, the Chicago police are very busy, especially the July 4 weekend. That was a tough time for him.
So sorry if you live in Chicago. If you live in Chicago, engagement challenge, tell us how it is. Because this doesn't look good.
Live in the United States.
That's just a, you know, like brackets, gunfire in background. Now, Portland was also a city that saw quite a lot of protesting.
Continues to see quite a lot of protesting.
Yeah, a lot of very interesting things happen there. But it seems like, you know, you still have to go on with your life. Now, if you have militants in the street and disease just floating through the air, what do? You got to order your meals in, right? It's the only safe way to do it. But man, they can really hit you with some surcharges. Until now.
Portland approves a 10% cap on fees that food delivery apps can charge restaurants. This is pretty good because the food delivery apps, you know, we've covered a lot of stories where some of the food delivery apps and services were getting really just underhanded. Like, we were covering stories where, you know, a restaurant might not even have its own phone number listed. It would go through the delivery service, and then the delivery service would do things. And then that restaurant might not even get any business at all. It might be serviced by a ghost kitchen. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, Joe's fajitas are amazing. Well, we can make fajitas out of the back of a truck. We're going to make fajitas out of the back of a truck and deliver those. No one would know if you get close enough and there's no complaints.
They did point out, I don't know how they tell, but... In those situations where the call comes through but they don't deliver, the max is 5%. That's still kind of crazy, though.
Yeah, well.
So yeah. They point out that a bunch of other cities and states have their own rules. Many of them are 15%. I think they go up to 20. Wow. But without these rules, some of them are 30.
Wow.
Yeah, and a lot of people said, like the drivers spoke out, and they were like, hey, this sounds good, but they're just going to scrape that off the part that I get. And so you're kind of bankrupting us.
Yeah.
So it's like, well.
Yeah, that's been one of the things that's rough is like, I don't go in anymore. I miss my Indian food. And they do have takeout. They've got a drive-through. And so I can drive through and take out. And I feel like that's pretty safe. But the drive-through is so much more expensive than the buffet that and the owner kind of knows that, and so he and I have got kind of a thing going where it's like, all right, look, I'll give you like 3 or 4 days worth of food, but you're going to pay regular prices for like the takeout, but it's like 3 or 4 days of food as opposed to just, you know, the one tray from the buffet.
I'm sorry, Krista.
I was just saying, I haven't eaten out in ages. Like, we get Taco Bell every now and then. That's about it.
See, if you're going to eat out, it's like, why do you... It's like, you can go higher tier than Taco Bell.
Well, I don't mind paying a little bit extra during these dark times, because I don't want those places to go out of business, some of them.
Yeah.
Although, you know, as the economy continues to crumble, we're all going to have to tighten the belt a little bit, probably, with our...
Yeah. Hope you're all stocking up on food.
It is sort of insane.
So, up above in the Northlands, the place where the people are extra polite, they have they're much more liberal than we are in terms of their laws, and they have a lot more protection, although that cuts both ways. But you like to see a law like this.
Yeah.
Because the opposition here points out how, oh, this is revolutionary for healthcare. It could help you so much, but it could really be used against you in a lot more ways.
Supreme Court of Canada upholds genetic non-discrimination law, the legislation passed in 2017, without cabinet support due to jurisdictional concerns. It turns out there are still jurisdictional concerns, even though the Canada Supreme Court has said no, an employer or an insurance company cannot demand your genetic information to decide whether or not to insure you. But it doesn't really provide a lot of protection beyond that. And also, there's still the jurisdictional issue.
They pointed out people would have babies, and they'd be like, all right, we're just going to do a quick genome test on this baby. And they're like, no, you are not, because that's going to be on a record somewhere. And what if our baby is really messed up? And, you know, from here on out, insurers and employers and things like that could get a hold of that.
We only want to insure people we can make a profit on. It's like, that's not the point of insurance.
Plus, how long before, you know, that leaks and the cops are buying that from a dark web, you know, that your DNA. That's going to be a thing. Krista, if you have a baby, you're going to get it DNA?
If I have a baby at this point.
Fight it, Krista. You are so close to getting through that biological clock window, and then you can be happy for the rest of your life.
Just looking at maybe just doing adoption. I don't know. I wouldn't want to be pregnant right now.
I think you just get another puppy in 10 years.
No.
Or cats.
I was house or dog sitting for a friend of mine. Her dog was here for like a week. And I was like, man, this just reinforces that Rue is more than enough dog. Having two dogs is too many for me.
When I say 10 years, you know, I hate to bring
this
up.
No, Rue will still be alive. We'll kid ourselves. Krista, well, she might be. She's only like 2.5 now, so she would be like 12 in 10 years.
Krista, you can always fill the void with more YouTube content. People like to watch you draw and stuff.
A lot of our viewers behave like children. Right? Just read the comments section.
Well, you could build yourself a new gaming machine. We've gotten, there have been some new processor launches. We've got some, you know, another pile of parts here and there.
I miss the 3-year-olds that I teach, but they were like, they sent out a notification the other day that was like, we're considering starting up 3-year-old classes again. And I was like, not right now. Nope.
Yeah, that's just insane.
Yeah, like I've been sneezed in the face by a 3-year-old before, and like that was gross pre-pandemic, but now it's like, ooh, I wouldn't want to do that now.
Isn't it true that kids still aren't getting it much?
No, some are.
Are they?
They tend to be asymptomatic, so
even worse.
They don't typically get very bad symptoms, but they would carry it to teachers, lunch ladies, janitors, bus drivers, also their own families.
Hmm. Yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's dark times in some parts of the state.
Well, you know what else is disgusting? Country. Giant corporations not paying taxes. And
because we, the citizens, need those tax bailouts to make our rent.
We're paying taxes.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are. Did you pay yours yet, Ryan?
I'm going tomorrow. That's It's gonna hurt.
You really put that off until like the very last.
Well, okay. I lost my documentation.
Oh. Oh yeah,
I have to pick that up. Remind me to do that.
Hey, pick up your documentation.
Oh, thanks. So yeah, Apple. It's well known about their double Dutch Irish sandwich. Now most of that is illegal these days, but you can still shuffle things around and pay your taxes in the cheapest place, which is usually Ireland, because they have like 12% taxes. And I'm sure there's more to this. And if you sat down with an Apple lawyer, they would probably like, you know, snowblind you with all this information. You'd be like, oh, maybe that is okay. But when you just look at the raw numbers, the discrepancy is quite large.
Apple UK stores paid £6.2 million in tax, despite £1.4 billion in sales. That is a vanishingly small percentage.
That's that whole, you know, a lot of people don't understand the difference between a million and a billion. You know, it's like it's hard to wrap your mind around those big numbers. It's the difference between 1,000 and 1.
That doesn't seem like enough given Apple's margin of like over 50%.
They made $1,400 and they paid $6. That's the way you think about it.
That sounds fine to me.
I would like to do that.
That'll trickle down to us any day now.
Yeah.
I would like, what's that? What, that's like tax bracket of near poverty, right?
Oh, that's actually, like, we as a small business are actually supremely disadvantaged by the way that things are because of the import tariffs. Because there are a lot of international people that love the level one KVMs, but the international, the tariffs are rough. They're super rough. And that's hurting small business.
And where do we get those KVM from? That's right, we'll admit it. It's China.
Well, it's Taiwan, it's actually.
It's Taiwan, yeah. Which will probably...
Which is what I said.
...taken over by China.
Yeah. So it depends on which team you're on. But someday, Taiwan might be China. And one of the reasons that we know that is because Hong Kong...
Yeah, things are not good in Hong Kong. Hong Kong worries me.
...has become China, yeah. And a lot of... not just people in Hong Kong, but mostly people in Hong Kong tend to, if you have money at least, you get educated abroad, especially in the good old UK. And, you know, you go and you learn English and you learn, you know, all those Western ideas, and you come back and you start a business. But with the pandemic, a lot of people, like Chinese students, did you see the headline? Like, if you're a Harvard China student, you don't get to come back.
Oh,
you have to do online.
Yeah.
So a lot of that's going on. So you might be a Chinese student taking a Western university, but now you have to do it all online because some people are doing everything online. But that creates some weird disconnects because are you allowed to look at all your course material?
UK universities are going to comply with China's internet restrictions. The article goes out of its way and trips over itself to say that we have not had to modify the university curriculum. It's fine.
I like how the question is, what are you going to do when there's a conflict? And they always just go back to, there has been no conflict to date.
What if you're taking a history class online?
Yeah, they brought that up.
You happen to go over Chinese history.
Yeah, like Tiananmen or, you know, the Great Leap Forward and all that stuff. And again, every response was, to date, we have not had to censor anything. So the way it's weird because when you have a situation like that, the university has to very carefully make sure that they take anything that you might need for research and run it through this system, like J something.
Yeah. Well, part of it is also making the curriculum stuff available on servers behind the Great Firewall of China, wherever that happens to be.
So, yeah, they point out an amazing amount of Chinese students in those universities. The conflict has to come.
It's probably already come. They just don't want to talk about it.
That's probably true. What they're going to do, it seems like, is when that happens, you just adjust the curriculum.
Yeah.
Which is, in essence, importing Chinese censorship.
But we desperately need that tuition money. So we will just do whatever because we're a for-profit entity now.
But it seems like basically what they're saying, if you read between the lines. Now, speaking of the UK tried something very stupid about a year ago, they decided to try and do universal age verification for any kind of adult websites. And when it came out, everybody just kind of sat back with their mouth open and was like, how are you going to do that? And then it went forward and they came up with a plan, and then it seemed like the government sat back and they said, how are we going to do this? And they tried a thing and it failed. What's amazing is since then, we've seen Australia announce that they're going to do it. And there was one more. Do you remember what it was?
France?
No. Italy, I think.
This one's France, yeah.
Was it Italy, Krista?
Italy. Yeah, I think it was Italy.
Yeah, so, and there have been talk of it in a lot of places, like, we need to do this. But no one really has an answer of how. And now, another one.
The French Parliament unanimously agreed on Thursday to introduce a nationwide age verification system for pornography and adult websites, months after President Macron, I hope I got that right, pledged to protect children against such content. Man, literally none of the French Parliament is computer literate. Not one of them. Not one person in the Parliament.
Now, they did point out that they're going to do it a little bit differently, and they're going to put the burden onto the site itself. So, like, how do you know? Obviously, the Are You 18 click banner is probably not going to cut it. They said, well, we're not sure how they'll do it. That's up to them. We're not going to rule on that. Probably a credit card.
But doesn't that also, like, violate some of the EU restrictions where it's like you can't track people's locations and stuff like that? Because you would have to serve up, like, a special notification if you're in France. Like, you must be 18 or whatever.
Yeah, I would think so. And
yeah, so, I mean,
the whole, like, you can't restrict service without, you can't force registration.
Yeah, you can't even force accepting cookies. This,
any way to do this, it would violate EU law. So it,
you think maybe all of this is not really about policing the adult websites, and instead it's another way to exert control over the internet?
Now, they do, the way they're going to do it is, if they find you in violation of this and you don't agree to shut down your website, then they're going to actually just shut you down, like block you. So, but what about a website like Reddit? Because there are subreddits where you can just look at naked people.
Yeah.
Does that count?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it does. They're going to block DuckDuckGo and Google, too, because you can search for those things on there.
I understand, like, the impulse of, like, you know, it's sad that a six-year-old can, you know, just find porn wherever, even if they're just trying to browse other stuff. But, like, I don't, there's no easy way to solve this problem outside of just watching your kid, like,
or not
monitoring their internet usage.
Even then, I think you're fighting a losing battle. I think what you're gonna have to do is accept that this is the world we live in and educate your child and accept the fact that young people almost universally are going to be attracted to looking at naked people. It's just how we're built.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, but, like, there's a difference between, like, healthy curiosity about sexuality and then, like, furry, you know, BDSM porn, you know what
they're,
I mean?
Coming down, folks.
Wow, okay, now that is a bold statement.
Like, in a 2020? 6-year-old, do you really want to explain the intricacies of, like, BDSM to your 6-year-old instead of just being like, here's sex, this is a normal thing, but, like,
going back to our previous discussion, Kristen, no, I don't want to do that, which is exactly why I will never have a 6-year-old. Because this, the world that we live in, we should not subject children to this. It's wrong to do so. We talked about the Blue Leak earlier. Did we figure out that it was called Blue Leak?
Yes.
I think we did. Way to go, us. Blue Leak was the big law enforcement database, and the DDoS secrets is the new WikiLeaks. They've kind of, like, taken up the mantle. You give them whatever it is that you want to get out to the public, but you're afraid to put out there yourself, and they'll put it out, and they're basically being treated the same way.
Cops seized the server that hosted BlueLeaks, and according to DDoS secrets, they said, don't worry, we'll get another download server. That was just a download server. It was in Germany.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, it crashed.
Oh, no.
I think
please don't tell me we lost all that.
I think we survived that.
Yeah, it looks like we did.
Sorry. Now, they pointed out, I don't... Oh, no. Oh, I've clicked.
You clicked on a thing. It was in Germany.
What happened there? Oh, here we go. And they pointed out some other stuff. They had leaked some other interesting leaks, and we didn't cover them. I didn't see news stories about them. Data stolen from the Chilean military and neo-Nazi messages exchanged on Discord.
Wow.
Interesting stuff. I don't know why we didn't see any headlines about that. And Clearview AI, now that became a big name here in the U.S. because in the height of the controversy about photo recognition and AI and stuff like that, we heard about Clearview, who goes and scrapes off of social media and lets law enforcement match against that for your photo.
If you're in, like, you just, all the police body cam footage, all those protesters, just run that through Clearview and we can get their home addresses.
And then we'll go and buy their data off the dark web, match it up with their IP address, and then get their physical address, and then we'll shoot their dog.
Orwell could never have imagined something so dark.
So we are not the only country where Clearview operates, and they are attracting the gaze of the government everywhere.
Australia and the UK open probe into Clearview over data privacy. Now, I didn't read the Bloomberg version of this article because of the horrible pop-ups, but one dark spin on this is if law enforcement actually wants to use this tool, they can make things inconvenient in Australia and then say, well, you know, this is not allowed here unless you jump through these hoops and we keep it quiet.
Pro tip, that requires JavaScript.
Oh, yeah.
It is a pain in the ass.
I usually read on my phone, and so it's just like...
Because there's like three major tech websites that we use regularly that simply render nothing without JavaScript. And then there's like three that use pop-ups that require JavaScript. So you constantly have to shift back and forth between JavaScript and no JavaScript.
It's a good thing we did a video on Pi-hole, which will make a lot of that go away, potentially.
And speaking of the Chinese situation, wow, these should have gone together. It wasn't. That was Australia.
Yeah, that should have been.
Oh, thanks, Krista, for piling on. I'm only human.
Just pointing out your screw-ups. I hope you feel better.
China, they made this little law. You may have heard about it. Where they took all those freedoms and separation that Hong Kong had, and they basically said, no, those don't exist.
I can paraphrase the law. It was, do you not like the Chinese Communist Party? You're illegal.
Basically, yeah. And so... a lot of people, as you've seen, the protests in Hong Kong, all of the anti-Communist Party people had sort of gathered in Hong Kong, and they were using that as their last bastion of freedom to fight back against it. Now, all of a sudden, the rug and the protections have been pulled out from under them.
China's Great Firewall descends on Hong Kong internet users. Residents rush to erase their digital footprints as law gives police powers over online activity. See, this is one of those situations that we're always describing where... the stuff that you do today may be fine, but whoever is in power tomorrow will be able to retroactively examine everything that you did, and if not, you know, outright making something that you did retroactively illegal, potentially, they can also take things out of context that you did previously, and it's like, oh, that was a criminal act, even then, we're just now bringing you up on charges because we just got around to it. So a lot of people are trying to delete everything that they can online. They're right to be scared.
But based on what we know about the Communist Party, that stuff has probably already been collected
archived
somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they make the NSA look like, you know,
child's
amateur
play.
Data hoarders.
Yeah.
And one interesting thing about that is the big tech companies are still somewhat stinging, I think, from the whole protest situation because they were caught out by, it's like, oh God, all of a sudden people are aware that we're kind of monsters. And we really don't care about people. And they've been really having to try and signal and get back on the good sides of everyone. And then this happens. And they're like, ooh, we are really on the wrong side of this. We really do whatever the Chinese government says. What do we do here?
U.S. tech giants halt Hong Kong police help. Because now things like just thinking the wrong thing seem to be illegal in Hong Kong. And because of that, you know, the Chinese police are going to the tech giants and they're saying, hey, we need all your information on this user. We think they've done illegal things. And it's like, wait a minute. This is just you're out to harvest their kidneys, basically. This is not, we can't give you the information on this.
You're not going to disappear them, are you? Promise you won't. And they make no such promises. So yeah, they are not the only company. A lot of especially social media companies are kind of rethinking what's going on. And we'll talk more about TikTok in the social media section, which is coming up in just a moment.
Yeah, they're pulling out.
But before we get to the social media section, let's talk about some rare positive news about technology and the lower income parts of the world.
Alphabet's Loon launches its balloon-powered Kenyan internet service. You know, a couple of videos, we actually had somebody that said that they were in the pilot or the test for this, and it was working well. But it could have also just been a troll that's like, hey, look at this. The last time we mentioned it. But 25,000 people, and they've got a little map showing the flight path that the balloons take. And, or 35,000, yeah, 35,000. This is working better. It seems to be working better than I expected.
And 25 or 20 megabits down,
yeah,
which isn't terrible because, as they point out, you can watch YouTube on it.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. That's going to be so useful after the fall.
We'll have to tether a balloon from the office and we'll be the...
I think the problem will be the anti-aircraft fire.
I wasn't even thinking the internet. I was thinking about just hosting a little, like we'd have Raspberry Pis running on solar-powered batteries with things like Wikipedia and how to purify water survival guides.
See, that would only work for a limited amount of time, because what you guys don't know is that the December event is a second Carrington event.
Oh. That'll be a tough one.
To end 2020 and probably most of civilization.
That would be chef's kiss.
How long? It's like the guy with the salt.
Yeah.
How long until we could scrap together enough stuff to rebuild and get our balloon up after the solar flare?
I think we could do it within a week.
I think that's
yeah, I think that's optimistic. A little optimistic.
I might have a Faraday cage downstairs lined with a great starter kit.
You're ignoring the bloodthirsty mobs.
Yes, I am ignoring the bloodthirsty mobs.
The human element.
But the bloodthirsty mobs probably wouldn't know what that was. So, like, assuming you could stay alive and, like, barter for your life, you might be able to get it up.
They would be killing us for our meat, not our technology.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you're responsible for our physical security. I'm responsible for our information security in the post-apocalyptic.
Well, I hope that you're not going to give me any, like, it's like, oh, that person was just a bystander stuff.
Because every time we play a survival game chat, that's exactly how it goes. Where Wendell's like, well, maybe we should let him into the colony, like when we play RimWorld. And me and Ryan are like, no, they're a useless eater. They have no skills.
You never get to ask what's in the fried rice. That's rule number two.
We never resorted to that in RimWorld. Like,
They put a massive penalty on it. Morale penalty.
Yeah. I was going to say, because it was too much of a morale hit.
Which is why we have a don't ask, don't tell policy in the compound. Now, speaking of social media and the government, so we know that China is very controlling of their people, but their new enemy, India, is also just as controlling, which is funny because, they hate each other so much, and yet they emulate one another.
Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Army asks personnel to remove 89 apps from phones by July 15th. This is in India today, so it's not the U.S. Army. It's the Indian Army, in case you weren't paying attention to Ryan. But, 89 apps. And India wasn't really... they didn't really super throw China and Facebook and other companies under the bus a lot. They were just like, these apps don't have your best interests at heart, and they can give away tactical data, so just let's not do this.
Toughest one? PUBG. Facebook? They're really locking this down. You can't have any fun on your phone in the Indian Army.
I was kind of surprised there weren't more health apps listed, because the health apps really give away a lot of information.
Tumblr? Oh. So difficult.
I didn't know Tumblr had an app.
Everybody's got an app, Krista.
Yeah, I was sad. At least that shouldn't surprise me, but...
Yeah, I mean, if you're active duty and you're actually, like, doing stuff, you really... Should you have time to be on PUBG?
Or Tinder.
I guess you have downtime like any other job. Keep you from going insane. So this story, I moved it to... So this is a lot like the one we talked about before with cops buying data. In fact, it's kind of the same thing. I moved it here because this is the soft transition between government and social media. Because it's not just those leaks to the dark web that law enforcement are using.
Police surveilled George Floyd protests with help from Twitter-affiliated startup Dataminer. And The Intercept got all this information from a leak inside Dataminer, and they investigated. And goodness gracious, the people inside Dataminer are like, wait a minute, we didn't sign up for this. We didn't sign up to become a part of the surveillance industrial complex. And Dataminer executives go out of their way to use doublespeak to be like, we're not surveilling things. We're merely providing situational analysis in real time to police forces about what is being posted on Twitter.
Now, the sort of excuse that they're using. So Twitter has what they dub the Firehose, which is this API that gives you all the data going through Twitter all at once.
It's basically every message that someone posts in chronological order. So imagine a feed. Anybody anywhere posts anything publicly on Twitter, you get it chronologically. You don't have to trawl through Twitter. You don't have to search. You don't have to monitor terms. It's literally just what people are posting in real time.
So they built a service based on the Firehose to collate and search and process all that data. Now, what you don't get, and this is what they keep going back to, you don't get location data. You don't get all the metrics about the tweet. You just get the tweet and who made it. But if you have a really good AI and a really good, you know, algorithm set up, when it comes to the protests, a lot of people were tweeting the location of the protests in the text of the tweet. You didn't need to know where that person was. They were telling you where they were.
It's also possible the Dataminer API can back reference that tweet to any other media that's posted, for example, and extract the GPS coordinates from the picture.
So almost in real time, law enforcement was getting updates from Dataminer. They were like, hey, protest is starting here. And then law enforcement could immediately react to that.
That was actually one of the samples the source provided The Intercept was like, here is, you know, there's not a lot of information in the message from Dataminer, but other than a protest is starting at this location.
Pretty valuable. If you're managing, you got a finite number of cops. You got to figure out where to deploy them. How do you get maximum protester arrests? That's the game.
I mean, I was going to say, if you're a protester, how do you organize at this point if you can't like use any sort of messaging?
Given that all of the information here is public, I'm not sure that like if it were rioting, like a riot maybe happening here, I would probably be more okay with it, but these tools have such a history of abuse that I think we have to err on the other side of, no, this is insane.
I think Twitter users would give you the right information. They would tell you where there's rioting and looting to try and protect the overall protest.
Yeah.
So yeah, you wouldn't need something like this. The citizens would actually... Here's a crazy idea. If the citizens trusted law enforcement, they'd work with them.
Can you imagine a police force having an app that the citizens would have installed that would be useful for that kind of thing? Like, hey, there's looting going on here. Instead, what would happen is, like, people of color would be shot because a lot of people would be like, something's going on here, because they're, like, being super Karens.
Immediately, you have to take the, you know, the darkest look at that, which is the reality, and you got to think about swatting.
Yeah.
Because people will lie. Don't bring a child into this, Krista. For the love of God.
At least wait twice before we get a vaccine.
Someone else's child.
And now moving on to the social media section for real, after that beautiful transition. Oh yes, those stories were laid out perfectly.
They were.
I'm not afraid to.
Good job.
Let's talk about TikTok. Now, TikTok was based in Hong Kong, and oh boy, did they face a lot of heat. I don't know if I put those stories in there. I think I was just going to sum everything up here, but the government, you're not allowed to use TikTok on the government systems. We do have a story about Amazon, but more and more people are like, all right, we're done. Don't use TikTok. If you're part of us, don't use TikTok. We don't trust them. They're evil. They're part of the Chinese government, because now Hong Kong is part of the Chinese government. You can't escape it. And if you're TikTok, what are you going to do?
TikTok faces ban in the US and has already pulled out of Hong Kong. See, I took something different away from this. The reason that TikTok is pulling out of Hong Kong is because they have a quote-unquote behind the Great Firewall of China version of TikTok, which is not called TikTok, and that is what they're going to make available in Hong Kong.
It's something with a D.
Yeah, it's like Daimo or something.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm
I can't remember either.
But
it's from the same company. It's the same. It's the same.
Know, I still don't know how to pronounce it. Douyin.
Douyin. Douyin.
Krista. D O U Y I N.
I don't know why you're asking me. I don't speak
because
Chinese.
You're the Chinese language expert of the team.
I don't.
You're the linguist.
No, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Yeah.
I went through a phase in high school where I had free time to study a language, and I decided I wanted to do an Asian language because it would be very different from any of ours. And so I was like, let me do Japanese or Chinese. And then when I was looking into both languages, I saw Chinese has like tones to it. And I was like, I can't do that. Nope. Too difficult. And well, then I did Japanese instead.
Is it, there's like an amazing sentence where it's the same word 50 times, but just yeah. like different inflections. And it's an actual sentence.
Yeah, and I was like self-teaching at the time. I was like, there's no way. There's just no way.
Yeah. Well, people complain about English too, you know?
Yeah. I'm I mean, sure English that, has its own weird yeah. idiosyncrasies, but.
So, speaking of TikTok, some of the backlash that they faced because they're a Chinese company, again, the U.S. government, I didn't include a story about that, but if you work for the U.S. government, they're saying no. No TikTok on your phones. I think the military is doing something as well. Not just Indians, but the U.S. military. And this one was an interesting story because when I included it in the news, this wasn't the headline. This got updated.
Amazon backtracks from demand that employees delete TikTok. So for about 5 hours, it was really tense. But Amazon said, if you get your Amazon email on a phone, you can't use TikTok. And then about 5 hours later, they were like, this message was sent in error. So...
was it?
I don't think it was. I think that people got upset.
Yeah. Interesting that that is a lot of control to place on you by an employer. Is that legal?
Yes. If it's if you want your work email on the phone, then a condition of that can be don't use these apps. But if you're required to have your work email on your phone, then the employer has to subsidize the phone or give you money or something. There has to be some...
I'm sure that Amazon doesn't do that. So, obviously, that is just indicative of the heat that TikTok was getting before they made their big decision. And Twitter... poor Twitter is actually... you got to wonder if they weren't part of this whole thing, like, behind the scenes, like, you know, worm-tonguing it and be like, TikTok is evil. Because TikTok is wiping the floor of Twitter.
Yeah.
People really, and I know it's not apples to apples there, but I think if you spend your time on one, you're going to be less likely to spend your time on the other. So Twitter getting kind of long in the tooth. A lot of other social media things are taking over. What do you do? They're not really making a lot of money. Got to think of something new.
Twitter is working on a subscription platform codenamed Griffin. Yeah. It's Twitter subscriptions.
You should put books in the bird. At least the bottom part.
It bothers me that they didn't fill in the negative space between the wing and the head with books.
Also, what are the odds that they went out of their way to get blue covers, right?
Yes, seems absolutely like they did.
Although there's some black in there. What's now, Wendell, you're the Twitter addict. Do you ever pay a subscription?
If I could pay like $10 a year and turn off ads, I'd probably do that.
But you already have your ads turned off.
Not on Twitter.
Oh, on the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Now, no one knows exactly what this is going to do. It's just that they are investing into it and they've created something, and who knows what would a Twitter subscription look like?
What I don't feature? Know if people would pay for it, because I guess it'd be like more exclusive, so maybe people would pay for that exclusivity. But
they mentioned TweetDeck. I don't know. What's TweetDeck?
It's a program for automating tweets, and it's like a better user interface for Twitter for managing tweets, and you used to be able to schedule tweets, and you could follow people in threads a lot easier. It was just
Twitter should have just bought the UI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what feature they would... I mean, I would never pay it. I don't care, but...
yeah.
What feature could they give their users that would be worth some subscription cost? $10 a year seems way low.
The Something Awful forum, one way they got really huge and popular, and one way they dealt with just awful people was to force it to be a subscription-only forum, which actually seemed to work well for them.
Now, if you could throw $1 a month at them, which I guess is in line with what you're saying, just to say I'm a real person.
Yeah.
Although I think the... interest groups would pay.
That, and it's kind of like, how dystopian is that, where it's like you have to pay to prove that you're real, otherwise you're just a bot.
But I think they, you know, it wouldn't prove anything. It would just, but it would make them money.
Yeah. George Soros' army. It's like, what's a million Twitter followers?
It's nothing.
It's only $1 million.
You know, we talk about Bezos. What is it? $160,000? He laughs at that.
Yeah. And when the AI bots get really good, it's like, no, my best friend Sasha was a bot the entire time trying to sell me Amazon brand toilet paper. What cruel world is this?
I sent nudes.
What? These nudes are amazing. You know what would make them look even better is if you were on a bed of Amazon brand disposable toilet paper.
And Facebook. Facebook is experiencing a bit of a troubled time right now. They have certainly not come through the great, you know, 2020 transformation in a good way.
I wouldn't have led with this because this actually happened after the other thing.
All right, we'll switch them around. What was the other thing?
That one.
Oh, okay, yeah. So we talked about last week when Zuckerberg internally, it was leaked. They had a meeting and they're like, what are we going to do about this boycott? And he was like, oh, they'll be back.
And so we had a meeting with them.
And by them, you mean some of the mouthpieces of the, you know, the cancel culture.
Unilever people. And those kind of companies.
Nah, it was like, this was the...
The actual advertisers.
Yeah, this was the actual, I thought that was actual advertisers.
I thought it was, like, they referenced all the NAACP, ADL, Color of Change, Sleeping Giants.
And Mozilla.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of the leaders of these groups.
Oh, and Coca-Cola and Starbucks and Ford and Verizon.
All the people who actually pulled their ads.
It was the people who are demanding the change and the people who are boycotting who actually have power. So, from all of that...
Facebook boycott leaders, quote-unquote, disappointed after meeting with Zuckerberg and Sandberg. The quote, I think, was, no, Zuckerberg, you don't get an A for attendance. You have to give us a plan for how you're going to resolve these issues. You know, in a slight defense of Zuckerberg, maybe he was expecting is like, all right, tell me what you want and we'll make it happen. Because, of course, this is an impossible situation. And they were like, no, you're going to tell us how you're going to fix this if you want our money.
He will quickly realize, I think, that there is no amount that will satisfy them.
And then that led to this.
And this one, again, will not satisfy anybody.
No.
In fact... They immediately attacked it. Even if it's not even been decided yet, but they're like, no, if he does this, it's wrong.
Facebook considers banning political ads before the U.S. 2020 election, according to Bloomberg. So this would be one way to address this. Like, all right, we don't have our platform under control. We'll just ban political ads altogether because they seem to make everyone angry. I think that's actually a good move.
The argument against it was that, for example, you know, these people are universally anti-Trump. And they're like, no, because Trump has a lot of, you know, recognition and popularity, and he gets himself out there. And Joe Biden is basically dead. By destroying ads, you would remove our ability to attack Trump and, you know, dispute what he says because no one listens to Joe Biden. Because, again, he's basically a corpse. Trump, for all his failures, is very loud. So, unacceptable. I doubt they will go through with it.
We could have a better candidate, or we could just elect a corpse and then hope that works out.
And browbeat everyone who points out his rigidity. What do they call it when
rigor mortis?
Rigor mortis. That's what it is.
It's a little. I mean, I don't know. Something. It's Weekend at Bernie's, except without Bernie.
With 4 years at Bernie's.
4 years at Biden's.
That might be the title. No, we shouldn't put his name in the comments. And finally, Facebook, in the midst of all this, clearly they know they have to do something. The storm, it seems like the first idea was just like, hunker down, it'll pass, we'll clean up afterwards. But it's just kind of continuing.
It's continuing to snowball, yeah.
It's biting into the bottom line. What do you do? Well, you want to make some changes, but that is not, it's a stone. It's an object in motion at this point. And changing the direction, not easy to do.
Too little, too late. Facebook's oversight board won't launch until late fall. It was also described by some of the people who were invited to get, I guess, comment on the how this is going to be structured as Toothless. So the people might be getting a little wise to, you know, like when we covered Cambridge Analytica and it was like, oh, we're going to shut down the apps and blah, blah, blah. People are expecting a little bit more concrete stuff than just Facebook's word for things. And so Facebook's word for things that the oversight committee will have power. It's like, all right, you know, what's the charter? What are the rules? What's the process? And the executives of Facebook sort of come up empty when providing specifics on that. And so a lot of people are like, hey, this is not cool. This committee is basically going to be toothless.
They also pointed out this committee only comes into play after a piece of content has been taken down. So it's not about proactively cleaning it up. It's just deciding whether or not it was valid once something has already been removed. I don't think it touches the political ad question, like, because yeah, those aren't things that get taken. That's the ads. You don't get to take those down.
This is an extra, 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 extra long episode of the news.
1 hour.
Woo! You're welcome, patrons and float plane subscribers.
And not YouTube commenters.
Krista, give us a goodbye in the voice of the worst YouTube commenter.
Bye.
Perfect.
That was terrible.